Good evening. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invite to come and partly respond to Herman. I was fortunate enough to work with Herman on his first report in 2010 and then left the department and came to the Technology Strategy Board, as we called it then, now Innovate UK. Much easier to say Innovate UK, I have to say, to implement what we decided in 2010. So it's been a pleasure doing that for the last 18 months now. But I wanted to quickly go back to what was the need that we saw in 2010, and a little bit Herman has covered this. We did have a little conflab with Dougal in the foyer just about our slides, and we've got them just about right, I think. But we have, as Herman says, a globally strong academic base that we know about, huge inventive capability at universities and at charitable sectors, leading businesses, but this technology transfer weakness, which I'll come on to a bit separately. And I have to say, over prior decades, government removing support from this intermediate sector. We did have a very large intermediate sector at one stage, and through all sorts of privatization and cutbacks, that intermediate sector has reduced in size. To quantify the problem, Tara Alice, the BIS Director General of Economics, produced a report in January 2014 alluding to these world-class strengths that we have in many aspects of the system, but a real concerning weakness in the talent base, where catapults are going to play a leading role, and a sustained long-term pattern of underinvestment in public and private research and development. One of Herman's points made earlier was, are catapults going to help in the skills base? And he recommends they do wherever they can. There are two good shining examples of that, the AMRC, we may hear a little bit more about that later, and the Manufacturing Technology Centre at ANSTI is just building a state-of-the-art training facility. So we are starting to address some of the skills gaps in the catapults that we're supporting. And here are some of the facts about our competitor nations. Our R&D has been static at about 1.8% of GDP. It's been that position since the early 1990s, whereas everybody else, as you can see, is making strides, quite happily making strides. Herman referred to his killer graph, Finland, one-tenth the size of UK GDP. And the UK has now moved from an innovation leader position within the European Union definitions to an innovation follower, and that can't be the right place for an economy of our size and ambition. So what was the answer? Well, Herman set out in his first report. We looked at those competitor nations in some detail, and we came up with technology and innovation centres. Now, TICs, of course, as they became known, are generally blood-sucking instruments. You know, they hang around and you've got to get... So we came up with Herman came up with Clark Maxwell. Everybody liked that so much that we changed it to Catapult. And I'm glad that you're so happy with the name. It was something that I think we were surprised to get the funding for after the coalition came to government. We made a very strong pitch, I have to say, that we did that. But you have to remember the economic conditions at the time. The coalition had just come to power. One of the first things they did was enter a sort of 60-day period, which resulted in £6 billion public spending cuts. And during that period, we still managed to make a case for a £200 million to be spent in this area. Now, going to Herman's recommendations, he talks about expanding this network for the future. Well, clearly, next May, we're going to have a different government. I don't know which one it is. Anybody who does know, we'll go to the bookies afterwards. But we are going to have a new government, and we already hear the choices that people are starting to make about, you know, £25 billion of spending cuts, or as the FT said this week, it should be £48 billion of spending cuts. So somewhere in this mix, Herman, we've got to find some money for this 30 by 2030. So if we did it before, we might be able to do it again. But it is going to be a very difficult thing to judge this time around. So what we have now are the seven catapults Herman outlined earlier. All are up and running. It will be an investment, private and public sector, over 5 years of about $1.4 billion. We oversee and we establish them, and we've managed to do that at a reasonable pace, and that should be able to get quicker. And we have now invested further in this network. We have two new coming, energy systems and precision medicine. So this partly responds, I think, to Herman's plea, one of his recommendations, that invest in what you have, and we are doing that. We're investing in cell therapy manufacturing. At the budget in 2014, Chancellor announced a $55 million investment in a cell therapy manufacturing centre, and $19 million investment in graphene at the Centre for Process Innovation and University of Manchester, building on the graphene story built at Manchester. And we have new facilities either been opened. The second building at the Composite Centre in Bristol was opened 2 weeks ago by Vince Cable. We have a biologics manufacturing centre being erected at Darlington, close to the station, if anybody wants to visit. And the training centre at the Manufacturing Technology Centre in Anstey, as well as a specific aerospace centre. So we are investing in new facilities. These are all capital facilities, by and large. So there is a definite plea that we're making for an equivalent amount of resource funding, which is what Herman is also asking for. What is a catapult centre? For those of you that haven't yet managed to go, please do. What you will find is access to world-leading technology, expertise, great people, and this ability to undertake collaborative research and development projects with business and contract research from business. This is the one-third, one-third, one-third funding model that Herman talked about that we stole from the Fraunhofer's, which I'm sure they're delighted with. They are really, they are very good. And what we create there is a critical mass of activity. And this is where they sit within the system. This is a graphic that we always show. So universities and other research centres operate at the lower TRL scales. Businesses are much closer to market, and ourselves, catapult centres, are in the middle, as indeed are Innovate UK, operating in that space which spans this area completely. The timeline has been, I think, quite fast, because we were establishing a brand new network. High Valley Manufacturing was the first pulled together in 2011, and there's been a steady progression of catapults to the last four opened in all in June, all in 2013, and two more which will come in April 2015, of which we have a huge amount of interest in the location. So if anybody wants to lobby about the location this evening, don't worry, I think we've heard every location that wants to have a catapult. But it's good news. It is actually good news that this has captured the imagination, and we have managed to get a lot of consortium together making the case for where a catapult could be. Which leads me on to the same slide that Herman showed and that was in the video. The location decision is absolutely critical, because this is a single place, apart from High Value Manufacturing, which is a seven consortia organised. This is critical that we have a good location, and we take a lot of time preparing where that location could be. In some cases, it's blindingly obvious, like Harwell for satellite applications, where ESA is based, where a lot of the UK space infrastructure is. And yet that catapult has already formed three outside outreach centres, because not always can everybody come to one location. And most catapults are now thinking about, okay, we have a national centre, but we will need outreach. Last week, the digital catapult opened in Euston Road, and one of their first announcements was to announce Sunderland, Bradford and Brighton as three separate nodes of activity that they will be supporting. So location is very, very important, and there are some obvious gaps in this map, but this is not for regional policy, this is for good reasons of university engagement and clustering around businesses to make a catapult a successful location. Herman alluded to, he found great people in his review, and many of them are here tonight, actually. And many of the people at the CEO level have given up very, very significant roles to come and join the Catapult Network, as did many of the chief execs in the high-value manufacturing Catapult themselves. So, again, this is proving to be a place where people will want to come and build on their career, and we have a great sort of governance structure with some very capable and prominent chairs running this. So catapults really are driven by the people that work within them. We can obviously fund equipment, data facilities and great locations, but actually it's people that make those decisions and people that make catapults work. So we come to the review that Herman's just given you a summary of. This was in response to Vince Cable and then David Willetts asking what next. Okay, you've established seven, you've got two coming along. What are we going to see for the economy of our size? And you've seen Herman's recommendations. Organic growth, growing some of the existing catapults is obviously a success. When you move from establishing cell therapy to establishing cell therapy manufacturing, and then you cluster around that, it's a bit like a Formula One story. You keep all of the technology and all of the expertise in one place. So will we do more of that? I think we will. What other areas? Herman's given you some of the things that he would like to see us invest in, but this is going to be one of the challenges for I and my colleague responding to Herman's review. Firstly, SME engagement. We take the point that Herman makes. There is a lot of work going on in catapults. You saw in the video three very good SMEs that have been supported through catapults. There are many more, but there are a lot of very high growth businesses at SME level out there. And I know, as running SMEs in my background before government, you just don't have the time to go and find a lot of the things that are on offer. So we have to do the work and get that engagement going. Similarly, university and research council engagement. We are getting stronger at doing that. We are reaching back into the research base. Each catapult will have typically two structures that help inform its strategy. One will be a research advisory group. The other will be an industry advisory group. And the research advisory group is to sort of help a catapult with its strategy and its plans. By far, the most interesting challenge is the 30 by 2030, the 20 by 2020. Mainly because, A, that is going to need significant public investment, as Herman has outlined. And I think as part of the Terra Alice report was outlining underinvestment, was why Vince Cable some time ago made the case for a doubling of the Innovate UK budget. He also managed to turn a few hearts at Treasury in the wrong way, of course, but always asking for money is a bad thing with Treasury. But he made the case that you should double the budget to about £1 billion by the end of this decade. But for myself and colleagues at Innovate UK, creating this pipeline, if we get to move in that direction, is going to be very interesting work. The Fraunhofer network in Germany is 67 institutes big. It has been operating since 1947. But it also has 51 centres in waiting. So it's not a static organisation of 67 things that will always... It is always thinking about what the next technology areas or next market areas are going to be. And that's a big investment in what they see as their future. And creating a pipeline, what would be the funding model would we come up with to go and deliver that network? So that, I'm sure, is going to be an interesting discussion and maybe a discussion that we have during the debate. And thank you very much for listening.